Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hola.
Hello, Hoya lovers. Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya.
Podcast.
today, we're going to get into... Oh, wait. No. I was on autopilot. I'm sorry. I was...
It sounded like the weatherman. Like, today with partly cloudy skies, the wind is at 12 miles per hour, and you may feel the precipitation at 42%.
You may feel the precipitation.
We have a 100% chance of complaining about the weather.
100% chance of Adam... being out of focus.
What?
Oh. I was trying to be funny, but it didn't land.
So it's been a little while since we did a species spotlight. Although now that I've said that, I guess not. I mean, it hasn't been that long. We did multiflora not too long ago. But I feel like the species spotlights are kind of fun because it gives us a moment to just reappreciate some of these Hoya that have been around for a really long time. And so we're going to talk about another beautiful classic Hoya, Hoya thompsonii.
Ooh, that fuzzy little...
freak?
Freak. I was trying to think of a F word. Anyway.
So Hoya thompsonii, I feel like thompsonia is like one of those like classics because it's been around for such a long time, akin to like multiflora and carnosa, and it's unique, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like when you first get into Hoya, I feel like it's one of those ones that you...
I don't know. For me personally, I don't think that it was like, I didn't even know that one existed for a while when my Hoya journey started.
Yeah.
But maybe you guys did.
Do you like it?
I do like it. I've never successfully kept it alive. Like
it, it feels like it would be a you Hoya because it's, you know, the fuzzy.
Yeah, it's got the fuzz.
Yeah, I do love it. Like, I wish I could, you know, keep it thriving, but...
no such thing.
No, not but, for me.
This Hoya has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Published in 1883. And as we always do in these episodes, when all these very old dates are mentioned...
we can't do the math.
What was that? I want to say that was like 200 years ago.
No, I mean, it was... oh. How old am I? 38. It was 140 years ago.
Oh, so close. If we round it up.
Way up 100 years.
Just let me explain to you how dumb I am. I'm like, when was the Boston Tea Party? Because I think it was around the same time. It definitely wasn't. It wasn't. It was a...
was not in the 1800s?
The Boston Tea Party was 200 years ago.
Oh, so...
maybe.
Oh, that was in the 17 somethings. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, glad that we established that.
1883.
I'm really glad this is not Let's Talk Math podcast because...
the first indication about the age of this is that herbarium sheet.
Yes. So by Joseph Dalton Hooker. In 1883, and it was published in the Flora of British India. And the interesting thing, though, is Mr. J.D. Hooker has published a lot of Hoya.
Yeah.
Like, so many. Like, I was looking on the IPNI, and whenever, like, you pull up a Hoya on there, underneath, like, towards the bottom, it shows, like, all of the other publications from... that, I don't know if he was a botanist, but, like, that individual, and it was, like, a whole list of other Hoya.
Who was the person that kind of is the name type like Hoya? Because is it always like R. Brown or why am I thinking? Because you know, like,
because it says like R.
The genus Hoya mm-hmm. is somebody, but for some reason I kept thinking it was Hooker. I'm like, this guy did everything.
He's the man.
But it's probably because we see him in a lot of publications.
Yeah. No, 100%. And the other interesting thing, though, is despite the fact that it was published in some kind of publication almost 200 years ago, 140 years ago, you can actually like see those publications. I was actually able to pull them all up.
Yeah, I printed them out here too.
So I thought that was super cool that they actually were able to
preserve that
because I feel like sometimes when we go to look for like these older publications, you can't actually pull them up. Oh, these
aren't the old ones. I'm sorry. Yes. I want to see them though. The old ones.
They look old, yeah, it's super cool. So I'm going to be making show notes for these.
What was with handwriting back in that day? Because I feel like everyone had the same very like long, slender, yes,
like perfect, tilted, perfect, like yeah, penmanship.
Also like that old,
it's like an art,
you know, that Atlantic accent, like that old radio voice. Like,
yes.
Where did all that come from? Where did it go?
Well, also, you know how like if you watch movies from like 100 years ago and Americans talked a very specific way? That's the voice that you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened to that?
Yeah, it's just like it disappeared.
But it's very weird. But anyway.
Random thoughts. Sorry.
Yeah, so 140 years ago by Joseph Dalton Hooker. And so we'll link that publication because it is really cool. And there's tons of other like plants and Hoya that are in that as well. So we can talk about that. But the interesting thing that I found about Hoya thomsonii is because I feel like most of the Hoya that we have been talking about come from like Indonesia or Thailand. But Hoya thomsonii, the locality of where it's found in situ is in Assam and Tibet.
Tibet?
Yeah, Tibet.
Because you said Tibet.
I did say Tibet. In Tibet. And just in case you don't know where those two places are, because I wasn't like, you know, I can't really pinpoint it. But Assam is a state in northeastern India, which is south of the eastern Himalayas, along the Brahmaputra and Barak River valleys. And Tibet is in Asia, north of the Himalayas, and it's in the central part of East Asia, and it's currently occupied by China.
Oh, I was about to say, is that why a lot of the references that I saw said China on them?
Yeah. China, technically, but they're self-governing piece of China, Tibet is.
So Tibet and Assam, which I think is really interesting because we don't see a lot of Hoya that we've talked about, at least, that even like come from India.
I know that was my like biggest thing because I have that Hoya species India. And when I got it, I was like, I don't know what it is. I had never seen a Hoya like it. But I was like, I've also never heard of India, Hoya from India. But one of these books that this was published in, there are a lot of Hoya from India because the low-lying forest right before the Himalayan mountains is like very tropical, which is just wild to think about. But that whole like strip of land is very like, that's where you see like a lot of these being published from. Not thomsonii, but like all other Hoyas in that book that was like Plants of India. I was like, this is kind of wild.
Yeah, you would just like never think. And I guess, you know, like you have a perception of places, but honestly, I've never been to any of those places. So all I know is the things that I learn. And so it was really interesting. Like I was looking up like, well, what actually is in Assam and Tibet? Like, what do those biomes even look like? But they were saying like in Assam, it's actually really richly, they have like a really rich diverse ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily a tropical environment. And then in Tibet, it goes all the way from having tropical to frigid zones. And so it's one of the largest forest areas in all of China. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what do they have there?
Yeah, well, true.
Woody is like, maybe they don't have giant bugs there. I can think actually you should
go though. No. I don't think that's a smart move. Yeah, as I was like looking up all these locations, I kept just going to Google Maps because that's what I do, satellite. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, these people can all just see Mount Everest. And then I started thinking about all the dead people on Mount Everest and, you know, the videos we've saw.
You just have to leave them behind. You can't really do anything. And they're just there.
The land before you get to Mount Everest, like the lowland, is that's where it's all like tropical and stuff. It's just, that's wild to me that it can go
from tropical to like tropical, freezing to death.
Yeah, go up to high elevation. You get colder, obviously, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's like within one same spot. It's like a mountain.
Wild. It's freaking wild. But yeah, but they're saying because that they have those tropical and subtropical zones, that thomsonii, that's where they're primarily found, is in those subtropical and tropical zones. So very interesting.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Muy interesante.
But for anybody who has never seen a thomsonii,
Don't look up the herbarium sheet because it looks crusty. Just kidding. No, it's cool to see it.
The initial publication, actually, it's very short. Because I feel like the publications these days, one Hoya can be like multiple pages and yeah. It like goes in depth. But in this publication, it was literally like on the page, there's also like five other Hoya along with it. So it's not very long. So I just wanted to read it real quick. Hoya thomsonii, petioles and leaves beneath, sparsely pilose, oblong or ovate oblong, acuminate to very thick. That's what it says.
Wow.
That was okay. The entire description of the leaves. So.
Wait, real quick. Jesse definition or Jesse interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The word pelose.
Very
or pelis. I was going to.
No, she remembers. Oh, she always definition. Gives her.
Oh, I always give my it. Definition. That word sounds like the word pelo in Spanish, which means hair. So. Uh-huh. For those of you that don't speak Spanish, we can infer that this is a hairy Hoya.
I like that you can like take little chunks of words from Spanish and it like roots back, root in Latin and all. Yeah. I don't know.
I like it too. I like making the connections.
But I did look that up today because I was like, I didn't understand the difference between pelose and pubescent.
Yeah.
Because I always thought just hair was pubescent. But I would say pubescent is more like the soft, very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you zoom into like... Carnosa stems, the new ones, you can see like little tiny, like it almost looks velvet,
like face fuzz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like on not beard area.
Yeah,
if you zoom in on your face you have face fuzz, but then if you get near like mustache and beard area, that's hair, which is pelose, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like very, this is very, yeah. Very visible. But yeah,
so there's your Jesse definition.
What's the Spanish word again?
Pelo. Yeah, if you said multiple hairs, pelos.
So you're right. So pelose is covered in long, soft hairs, and then acuminate is tapering to a point. So basically, the petioles and leaf beneath are sparsely with long, soft hairs, and oblong or ovate oblong, which I can't even say the word right anymore. So it does. Was it oblong?
It's oblong. This is why I corrected you, because if you say it wrong once, you're gonna say it wrong the entire time. But it's fine. I hopefully people won't notice Lydia doesn't know English.
Oblong or ovate oblong, acuminate, very thick. So they're slightly roundish leaves that come to a tapering point. So if that gives a visual, that is what Hoya thomsonii looks like.
Much wow.
Much wow.
And flowers, because when was it, Adam? Yours started flowering last year? No, the year before last year. Mm-hmm. So the year before last year in 2022.
Winter mine, 2022, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mine just started flowering last year in 2023. But there's two different types of flowers that I know of that you can get with Hoya thomsonii, and it's white flowers and pink flowers.
Ooh.
Which, by what I know, pink flowers are
superior. Just kidding.
Pink flowers are a little bit more common, and then white flowers are not as common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really want to have... I think I have a white flower clone. I just want it. It's never bloomed.
It just hasn't bloomed
but
yet.
But it looks way different than the other one, as far as like how it's growing and... Not way different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I almost wonder if that one is Affinity thomsonii. In the publication about Hoya thomsonii, the flowers and the peduncles, it says umbels are axillary, peduncle short, puberulous tip at length thickened and scarred, corolla lobes with fringed margins, glabrous or pubescent within.
It's weird to me how we have that original publication from Hooker, and then there's the two other publications listed on there, which are from books that were in the 90s, and how they can, I mean, they expand on it, but it seems like it's just copying what the one Hooker said.
Yeah.
But it's not, because they have so much more information, because that one was so short.
Yeah, the description was so short. But it like forms the picture, like if you've seen the blooms before or seen them like mm-hmm. budding. But basically, you know, axillary is it's growing or position in the axil of the plant, which the axil is the stem where the leaves develop. And then that point where Hooker had said that it is like scarred and has fringed margins, whenever Hoya thompsonii, like the peduncle, like at the end of it, it is like almost like jagged.
Is it?
Or like when the blooms like start coming in, it's almost like jagged.
Oh, yeah. Like mm-hmm. the spur, that mm-hmm. like end part. Yeah. It does look a little wonky.
Yeah, it does. It looks a little bit different than some other, because other flowers, like when they start, like the buds start forming, they're almost like round and soft looking. But this one really does look like
yeah,
someone took some scissors and like went at it, you know? So yeah. I was like, okay, that's it. That's a pretty good little explanation there. And then as we know, glabrous is smooth and pubescent is hairy. So it has a smooth surface with some hairy parts of
inside.
The inside. the corona.
The flowers, though, they are cute.
They are really cute. I can't. Okay, so mine bloomed for the first time last year. I can't really remember the smell, though. You guys had said there was a specific flowery smell.
To me, they smell just like an Easter lily. Now,
that's what you were saying.
I don't know if that's how everyone around the world refers to them. Because, like, I just watched Miro's video and they called a Thanksgiving cactus a November cactus in Sweden. Oh,
well, because they don't have Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, maybe this is called like an April
lily.
April lily or something. But what I remember, like, of Easter lilies, that's exactly how it smells like mm-hmm. that. Like, it's a good smell, but it's also not a great smell.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like when you initially get like a whiff of it, you're like, oh, it's floral. And then when you like get closer, it's so strong. It almost becomes like pungent in a way, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a little like spoiled, like something spoiled. I don't know. Pungent is a good word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a good word.
What I like is that the pink kind of gets darker towards the outside. So it kind of looks like it's blushing. Mm-hmm. I think that's adorable.
Just a shy little flower.
She's a shy girly.
Who is a Hoya on Instagram? Like, this is one that is affected by.
She messaged me and she was like,
mine always has peduncles and it never blooms. And I was like, girl, same. For the longest time, mine just grew tons of peduncles. That's one of the Hoyas that always has peduncles growing but never bloomed. I told her to decrease light by 2 hours per Doug Chamberlain in our episode with him, how he was like, that's how he triggers blooming. And I said, decrease it. Cause she had it in a situation where I think she could do that. And I kind of want to have something like that where I have like a tent where I can just throw things in there, decrease the light to get them to bloom. But she did it with a thompsonii just like a couple weeks ago, bloomed all over the plant. And she was like, I don't know what kind of magic you just... I was like, well, really, it didn't come from me. It came from Doug Chamberlain. But yeah, she just decreased the time it was under grow lights by 2 hours.
Oh, dang. And
it just popped off. So you can get that to bloom year-round if you do that, like Doug said in his episode. But it's usually a winter kind of bloomer because the light decreases in the winter.
Yeah, and my thompsonii is just a natural light. I don't have it under a grow light. It's by a south-facing window. So it gets lighting just naturally based on how the cycles go. And in the winter is when my bloomed for the first time. So there was all these peduncles everywhere that were forming throughout the year. And then in the wintertime, when the light decreased, that's when it started blooming. And it bloomed prolifically, like everywhere all the time.
It's so gorgeous when it's in full bloom.
It really is.
I love this one, especially on a trellis. Like they're, all of them are hanging out there. Also, I just realized that when we say wintertime, I forget that like wintertime in like the southern hemisphere.
Like in Australia, right? It's the opposite.
Where the days are longer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wait, you know. It's colder, but days are longer? Or is it hot?
No, like in their summer is like when it's winter here and vice versa.
Oh, okay. I thought their winter was cold, but the days were long. I was like, that'd be miserable.
No.
No, I get it now. Okay. I had like a moment of mental instability there.
So did I, because I was like, I kept saying winter, and I was like, wait a minute, but like, I forget that it's not just us three talking about Hoya.
Yeah. I remember there's this couple that I follow that's from Australia, and they celebrate Christmas. And it's always funny when they post their pictures, and they're literally in like shorts and a t-shirt, and it's like bright and sunny, and they have like the little Christmas tree up, and it's Christmas, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just so wild that people experience things differently.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
No, I was just processing that. I was like, wait a minute, they celebrate Christmas in July? Why can't they celebrate December? And then I realized you said it was sunny, meaning it's not cold, but it's still December. It took me a minute to get there.
Oh my gosh.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey guys, Lydia here.
And Adam. As some of you may know, we co-own a online Hoya plant shop. Well, mostly Hoya. It's called The Green Plant. We're always so grateful that our passions have led us to have the ability to share some of our favorite genus with you.
We aim to have a restock at least 1 to 2 times a month and always post the most carefully and beautifully growing plants. And supporting us keeps our dream alive. And we love seeing the plants we have lovingly curated growing in your homes.
If you're in the United States and ever looking for new Hoya babes to add to your collection, just give us a browse at www.thegreenplantaz.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at thegreenplant.az, where we always post restock alerts on our stories. And you can also sign up for our newsletter at the bottom of our shop website. And now, back to our episode. Gosh. So yeah, so prolific bloomer, and the peduncles on this one is not one where it just like falls off after a certain bloom. Of course, like peduncles, they have their own life cycle too, and eventually at some point like they can fall off, but this is definitely one where I've had them rebloom again and again from the same one. So definitely one, don't like cut it off or anything, unless you just hate it and you don't want the blooms anymore, then I guess you can. But if you want to see the blooms again, you can just leave it and, you know, let it do its thing, and she will. Alrighty, so did anybody read anything about like other people who have grown Hoya thomsonii, or any insights from what other people have said about it?
I mean, I always enjoy reading Vermont Hoyas. Words on his experience with the Hoyas.
What did he say?
He was talking about he was not happy he received such a small cutting. But then he says he regrets being upset at how small the cutting was. But he does say it grew very poorly, and he started it over several times throughout the years. But he just felt like it never did well with him. He does, you know, say it's a fall bloomer. And then he talks about decreasing the time of light to trigger the bloom. And then in August of 2021, I guess is when it took an upturn and he was actually able to get peduncles because he added humidity. Gives more details about the less light. And finally bloomed it in pink.
But, and I wonder, ever since we did that episode with Doug, I'm like, is she still with us? Or is she in the river?
Oh, I'm sure she's in the river. Every post I see of his, I'm just like, oh, I wonder if...
Is she still with us? Yeah. Is it still here?
I always like try to zoom in on the size of the spur to see if it's like been rebloomed. If that's the first one. Like, oh.
He does say it's a real learning curve, but was extremely rewarding to grow and flower. I now know how to flower this one by manipulating the day length cycles and know that it can be flowered at an extremely young age. And he called it a wonderful little Hoya and one that I give my highest recommendations to. So that really took a turn from the beginning of this. He called it a very poorly in start and started over plant. So
yeah,
it has the Doug recommendation.
I came across Dave's garden. Like this post in Dave's garden, which seems like a Reddit type, vibe. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing all of the people in there. I'm seeing Doug Chamberlain from 2008 talking about Hoya Thompsonii.
This must have been like one of those, that house, you know, the H-O-U-Z-Z thread.
Yeah. And then in here is somebody in Mesa, Arizona called AC's Agape Plants. And after that, Aloha Hoya was like, her name is Awanda, apparently. Awanda. I don't know if she's still around, but honestly, if she was, I would want to talk to her.
Yeah.
But she's like, good to see you posting. Aloha Hoya said this. Can you grow, like, I don't understand how you grow your Hoyas in dry AZ. And look at us, guys. We're doing a Hoya podcast from dry AZ.
Oh my gosh, from 2008. Okay, but one moment. What were we doing in 2008?
I just graduated college and started working at the bank.
We were juniors in high school.
Yeah, in high school.
Wow. It's just,
people were collecting Hoya, and we never would have known at that time that we would also become Hoya heads.
And they're all like in this message board, people are saying like, can you find this? Because apparently it was becoming like an it plant. So Doug had it, and all the people are like, I got it from David Little. Mm-hmm. I got it from Carol Noel. And I'm just like, this is just, I don't know. Now that we're in this hobby and now that we understand who these people are a little bit more than I obviously ever did, it's kind of cool to see all that.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. I cannot. What was that called again? David's Garden?
Yeah, Dave's Garden.
Dave's Garden. Okay. Well, what about our own experiences? How has it gone with the grand old Hoya Thompsonii?
My experience is really quick. The one that's a little less hairy died very quickly, but the hairier Thompsonii that I had in my collection actually lived a very, like, a whole full year since purchasing it from Unsolicited Plant Talks, and it just passed away, I want to say, about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, it was a whole passing.
Yeah, it was a whole passing, like, memorial service. R.I.P. Bye.
Was it a memorial service or was it like a, back don't know what this one go. Was, but look at it.
No, I didn't know what it was because it had the UPT tag on it. Okay. I was just like, oh, I got that for my birthday last year or 2 years ago. So it did live for a while and I really did like it. It was a splashy one too, but she could not thrive in our quick pace environment.
Yeah.
Quick pace, low hydration environment.
Couldn't take the use. I have actually not had much difficulty at all with it. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those. I know. No, Jesse. See, Jesse, I think you, obviously, it stayed around for long.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to admit that it's still pretty good.
It is pretty sturdy for that.
I think that it was probably just in the watering. But I keep mine out, regular ambient humidity. I have my smaller one that's very splashy on... in one of those Melfo pots. It's been living in that since I've had it for like 2 years. And roots aren't coming out the bottom.
Yeah.
And then the other one, kind of the same situation. So they get the grow lights on for 12 hours and they're happy. And I do let them go dry. Like, just like all my other Hoya.
Yeah. Also, like, Thompsonii is probably one of those Hoya that I've had for really long. It was like one of the more first Hoya trades that I've ever done. And I had gotten it, and that's when I was still using like the LECA in like the wee pots. And so I had it in like one of those like little netted pots, you know, with like the LECA, and I had it in there. And it just like never grew, never grew, never grew. And then when we got the microscopes, like it was covered in flat mites.
A perfect one for it because all the hair.
Yes. And so I like scrubbed it out and everything. And then ever since then, like, it's just been growing so great. And that's probably one of my only plants that I have left in LECA. And I put it into a 4-inch pot and it's been in LECA. And like you said, like, I never see roots growing through the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of perfectly happy
a very small pot
in that situation. So I'm like, well, why would I move it or change it if it's doing fine? And yours is trellised, Adam, but mine's just trailing. So I have it just trailing. It's sitting on top of one of my shelves, facing a south facing window, and it just sits there and it bloomed for the first time last year in 2023. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is freaking amazing, because there's blooms everywhere going wild.
I love that.
And then I had one vine from that Thompsonii. There was a leaf that came in, it had some splash on it. So remember I told you I cut that off, and all of the leaves that have come in are splashy.
Wow. Ooh, so you sounds like you can replace my dead Hoya.
So then that one I put onto a little trellis, and I'm just watching it grow, and it has a little peduncle on there that just formed not too long ago. So maybe this year that one will bloom too. So
I love that.
Now I have two little Thompsonii that have just been schlepping along this whole time. But mine have always been an ambient. And like I said, I have that one in Leca. The other one that I cut off that came in splashy, I put it in pond. But they're both just in ambient situations. One natural light, and then the other one, I do have it in front of grow lights, but
yeah,
very easy. They've always been easy despite all the hardship that it went through in the past.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising that it's that easy, but oh, they're so gorgeous.
Say the word easy one more time, guys.
It's like, I mean, I don't even have to think about that Hoya.
I know. And honestly, like, beginner friendly Hoya, if you are just getting into Hoya and you want something that's a little bit unique, a little bit different, and once it like gets to that point, will just bloom prolifically for you. And they're just really, yeah,
pink. Gorgeous pink color.
Gorgeous blooms. Get a Thompsonii.
Or if you have a child that you just like, don't want to give them a big plant right now, but something that's real easy to take care of, like they don't even need to think about it, get them a Thompsonii.
Yeah, I think it's like 2+ friendly, you know?
Yeah.
You know how like on the Legos, they just look at ages?
I'm going to smack you. If you guys hear gears, it's my eyes. Like
not look at her face.
It's my eyes reaching a new level of rolling. Into my skull.
So, but yeah, but also one, like if you want to trellis it, you can trellis it, make it more compact because it doesn't grow like crazy.
I wish I could trail mine though, because I bet yours blooming trailed was so freaking gorgeous, because you know when Hoya, like when they're trailing and they bloom and you just
see get, like, all the like the umbels. Uh-huh.
And you're just like, oh my gosh.
But then I love yours when it's trellis and then all the blooms are just like right there too. Like that's a vibe too. So either way, I feel like you can't go wrong. Yeah. So if you want a trailing or a trellis, like this is just a solid good plant, I feel like.
Definitely.
So like we said, very easy, beginner friendly.
Yeah.
5 to 10 out of 10 recommend.
2+.
You still have to give us conservation information.
I do? You can give us conservation information.
Oh, well, I just remember it's something that you always share.
I don't have anything.
From what I saw, according to KEW.org, it says that the extinction prediction is not threatened. So I don't think it is not an endangered species, unless you give me the responsibility of keeping them alive.
You know what I think it is, though? Tibet is a conserved area. Like they take conservation very, very seriously. And part of that is because I was reading, there's a lot of like monks that are in that area that take like conservation. That's so cool. Like that's like a big part of like what they believe in. And so that area is very well protected. So if it's an area that's protected,
yeah,
then,
it's gonna be safe.
Right. Like there's not any of, because a lot of, you know, the other, like whenever we would read about publications or other Hoya, part of why they're going extinct is because it was in an unprotected area and there's deforestation and, you know, all that stuff that's happening. So you just don't know what's happening. But if it's in a protected area, then they get to thrive and live their little happy life. So
I love that. If I ever disappear, I'm in Tibet being a conservational monk.
I don't think you could be quiet.
Yeah, if you had to observe a moment of, if you had to, what is it? A vow to silence?
A vow of silence.
Yeah, a vow of silence.
And no technology.
As long as someone is making noise, I'm good. And I can't have the silence.
The noise making is going to be you from shaking your leg with your, when your foot is shaking.
There's like Buddhist temples in Korea, and there's people who do things called a temple stay. And basically it's just to have like a moment of just, like, you know, like a moment to yourself just to like reform and, you know, things like that. And so they basically like live a life like a monk, and it's only for like, you can do like a weekend or a week or, you know, something like that. But I was watching one that people were doing, and they don't use any seasonings and they don't eat meat, at least there that they were at, like those monks didn't.
Yeah.
So like they just ate their food like, but it was like good food, but it was no seasoning and no meat.
Yeah.
So for Jesse, so for Jesse, it's like no meat, no salt on your food, plus silence.
I actually used to eat a lot of saltless food because my grandmother is diabetic. So we would have to eat saltless chicken.
What about now?
No, now I ask for salt before I even tried my food.
So salt affects diabetes?
I don't know why, but she just never put salt on it. Like, she always ate very like blandly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was because she didn't want to taste of the good life.
Probably. Monks always like do that. I think being a monk is cool. This is not an episode about monks, but like they always have like a trade. You know, like I've had craft beer that was made by monks.
Really?
Fudge. Usually, like they always like pick some sort of thing to like sustain their.
There's a thing. Really young monk right now who's.
You could sell Hoya Thompsonia as a monk.
Oh yeah, you can go to Tibet and
it's very eat, pray, love.
But he was like very into fashion, and he thought that he wouldn't be able to do it or it'd be taboo. But the senior, like the elder, was telling him like, if that's what you love, like you should do it. So he's like pursuing doing fashion as a monk.
That's I thought cool. He made like cool new monk outfits or something.
They're all bedazzled.
That would be me as a monk, bedazzled.
Pink robe.
Yeah. Okay, but I feel like every time we do these species spotlights, there's always like really cool, like different variations of Hoya. But honestly, when we were like researching for this episode, like I realized there's no variegated Thompsonii. Like I've never seen an inner or outer variegated Thompsonii before.
Yet.
Yes, yet. But currently in market, like I've never seen variegated Thompsonii.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Mm-mm. The only ones that I've seen in market are splashy, like our quote unquote splashy Thompsonii, and then quote unquote silver Thompsonii.
I'm looking. Well, I'm sure you already looked too.
Yeah, I didn't find the variegated Thompsonii.
Wild. Yeah, so I've only heard of the splash one too. But I think there is like a lot, like when you creep into like the ones that they do affinity Thompsonia, which I didn't look into at all. There's a lot of different ones, but white flowers, pink flowers, splash, silver are the main ones that I ever saw. Same. It would be cool. To see a variegated one.
Okay. But if we did, which one would you want to see more? Inner variegated, outer variegated?
Inner. I always like inner variegated more.
Really?
I like outer variegation more. I feel like inner like fades more or like is more subtle.
I feel like that's outer variegation.
I would want outer variegation, but the white. Because you know how there's like some outer variegation that's more like a yellow lime color? Mm-hmm. I would want it to be like that bold like white outer variegation where you can like really see it.
Yeah. I mean, in either or.
You know, but now I'm curious.
A little sandwich. I almost said that too.
What it would look like. And then imagine like if the peduncles came in variegated, you know how like how the multiflora outer variegated? The stem is like variegated and then so are the like the pedicels.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so cool.
Oh.
If you have this, just drop it in our DMs. We won't say anything. We also just want to know.
If you're listening from the labs in China, we will grow out the specimen here in the United States if you send it to us.
Be your exclusive dealer.
Yeah.
Proprietary Thompsonii dealer.
This is our official application.
That's right.
Please sponsor us.
Wow.
So Hoya Thompsonii, I feel like was more of the more straightforward ones because we've done some where it's like, you thought this was this, but it's not. But this one, I mean, I really feel like if we're talking about just Hoya Thompsonii, not getting into like the affinity or anything like that, it's just very straightforward. We know what a Thompsonii is.
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty. And also for the fun little stressy ones, go back and listen to our Macrophylla /
Latifolia.
Latifolia episode.
Uh-huh.
That was a ride.
It was.
Okay. Well, show us your Thompsonii. Tag us on Instagram at let's.talkhoya. And you can also find us individually on Instagram. My handle is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at perritos y plants. Adios.
Año.
Bye.